Well, welcome, welcome. Thank you for anyone who happens to be popping in and watching. Thank you for your patience. This is Julie Anderson, aka Brain Lady Julie, and we are with the Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire podcast, soon to be the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast as we do our rebranding. I know, exciting. Exciting. And we are here with yet another powerful woman that you need to know because she has wisdom to share. That is Andrea Libros. Did I pronounce that correct?
Libros.
Libros. Okay. I was way off.
It's all right. I've got lots. I could be lots of things. Andrea Libros.
Libros. I love it. Okay. Well, let me give you a little bit of background with Andrea. Andrea, welcome to the show and thank you for being here first.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So a little bit of her professional bio. Andrea Libros, she is the author of She Thinks Big, the Entrepreneurial Woman's Guide to Moving Past the Messy Middle and Into the Extraordinary. It launched just recently, and she is a certified business and life coach specializing in empowering female entrepreneurs to infuse thinking with action so they drop the drama and figure out how to think like a CEO, manage like a CEO, and believe in themselves to achieve success in their business and at home. So once again, welcome Andrea to the show.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
Of course, my pleasure, my pleasure. I love talking to powerhouse women and just sharing thoughts and wisdom and ideas and getting what their brains, have for us, because everybody's opinion, everybody's thoughts and everybody's expertise is just a little different. So there's always something that we can glean. So thank you again for being on the program.
Thanks.
I would like to start by, I always like asking my guests, what got them here? So not every, being an entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart. And B, being a coach, there's a lot of education and a lot of background learning that goes into that position. So what led you to become passionate about doing what you're doing now?
So what's interesting is if I think back, like way back in the day, in the old days, I always did love two things. One, I did love kind of teaching, although I never wanted to be a teacher, but I did love teaching in a way. I was a tutor. I did all, and I also loved learning more about how our brain works. So I took a lot of neuropsych classes. I have a master's in communication disorders. So if I think back, there's always, I don't know if you've ever done that exercise where it's like, trace your life throughout. What are the commonalities, right? So there's a commonality there.
Yeah.
As an adult, I'll call myself an adult. As an adult, I worked for a company for about 10 years. It was corporate, but I was doing recruiting, hiring, and training of new business owners. So it was almost as if these owners were starting a franchise, not on paper, it wasn't technically, but it was kind of like that. So they were starting these franchises. And when I stayed there for 10 years. And when I reflect back, like, why did I stay there? Because there certainly were lots of things that I did not love. The thing I loved the most was that when we got to the place where they were in the door, they started their business. They started to see some success. They started to actually feel the chaos of success in a sense, right? That they're like, huh, this is the fun's wearing off a little. Have I gotten myself into something that I can't handle? This is taking way more time than I thought it would. Do I need another area of expertise? Do I need more people? All those things, which I call the messy middle. Now,
yes.
I've labeled it the messy middle. Now I realized that that's where mm-hmm. That's what I love the most, to kind of help them get through that place, because they said yes, or they were in this, or they bought in, like there was something that made them say yes. And now all of a sudden they're doubting everything.
Yeah.
So once I had had enough though of this company that I had been with for 10 years, because I saw myself not, really, I saw myself kind of getting stuck in a box and I wanted to grow. Once I left and reflected, I realized that that's what I loved. And what was really happening during those moments was that I was coaching. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't called coaching, that's
right.
What I was doing, right? That's really what I was doing. And most of these people too were women who had families. So part of what was kind of now contributing to their their uncertainty, their doubt, was that they started to question too, can I still do all the things I want to do as a mom or a spouse and have this business? So right. when I decided to start my own coaching practice and get my own clients, I really wanted to join both that entrepreneurial business aspect of coaching with the life coaching. So I always say both of them are fair game. Like everything yeah. is fair game. Of course, we do focus on certain things at certain times, but having that perspective, I think, is really important. I mean, I was just on a coaching call this morning and this woman has like a very successful business, like it's growing leaps and bounds. I mean, she's been in business now probably for 7 or 8 years too. But what she wanted to talk about was how they went to cut down their Christmas tree and it was a disaster mm-hmm. and all the family dynamics around that. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of interesting that like last week we talked about how she needs to change her offers. You know, this week yeah. we're talking about the Christmas tree. So.
Cause they're intertwined, right?
They totally are intertwined.
Yeah. And I think that's even more so with the female entrepreneurs, right?
It is.
As opposed to a woman who's in corporate.
It is, because I think part of the reason, or at least our brain is telling us when we get into this, like, oh, we're going to have some flexibility and we're going to be able to be around our own schedule. And okay. So all these things and our family. So also you don't have that barrier anymore. If like the boss told me I have to stay, or this is a work event that I must be at, you're it, you're the boss.
Yeah.
You're the work. Right. So anyway, that's, I think that answer, I forget. You asked me how did I get into it. That's my long answer of how I got into it.
I like it where just the conversation just goes. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So now you're working with entrepreneurs going from, I like that phrase, the messy middle, into that being more successful, or that higher level, not necessarily even just successful, but at least it's not messy anymore.
Right. Or if it is messy, because I kind of think this messy is a little bit cyclical too.
Yeah.
They now have the knowledge and the experience. Their brain can go search for the evidence that they can get through the messy middle. Like, and the messy middle kind of gets smaller relative to the growth too.
Right.
It feels a lot bigger in the beginning of their business than it does several years in or millions of dollars in, right? It's all relative. So I love working with entrepreneurs who have a business. It's profitable. Maybe it's not as profitable as they want it to be, but they are creating profits. And they're wanting to, they're feeling a little, I don't want to say stuck. I always call, like, stuck seems cliche in a way. I like to say they're experiencing some business lag. It's just like hanging out there. Nothing's wrong. Usually most of my clients come to me, nothing's really wrong. There's no disaster, but it just doesn't feel like they want it to feel. And they know that there could be more. They know that they can go further with this. And they're kind of unsure about how to do that. So, and maintain all the things going around in the background.
And going and getting the Christmas tree.
Exactly. So that's what I really love doing. And I find at that spot, they've really also got a shift, kind of like turn the dial from thinking small or staying in the kind of comfortable, which might even still be chaotic. Like they might be comfortable in chaos, into elevating themselves, like upgrading themselves and their business to get them to that. I call it the extraordinary, right? Like to get to that next place.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So you do this by obviously you have several signature processes, I'm sure that you go through. But first, let's talk about just the idea of big thinking, because it's something that you read that was in your bio that I liked, how to think like a CEO and manage like a CEO. And I have found in working with my clients who are entrepreneurs, they have a tendency to not put on the CEO cap. It's like they think that because they're an entrepreneur, it's almost like this repulsion from anything that says corporate.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, right. And yet you are a company when you're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And so you have to think like the CEO. So is that part of this thing that you call the big thinking?
It is. It is. And I think it's interesting you brought that up because I just had someone I know. This was so interesting. So I know her. And she reached out and she said, "Hey, do you have any suggestions for coaches? I think I want to coach." I said, "Sure, I can give you suggestions. But hey, I mean, from what I know about your business, like I might be able to help you." And she said, "Well, I was reading and you use this word CEO and I'm not a CEO. I just own my business." Like she literally said that. So it was kind of ironic that you just brought that up.
Yeah.
But I think, yes. So in order to really think like a CEO, you have to embrace what I call big thinking. And I created an acronym around what is big thinking? How do you do it? So I use the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, as the acronym. And I think if we asked all CEOs, they probably would say, yes, these five things that represent each of these letters are definitely things that I need to do or think about. And the first one is the T. It stands for thought options. Okay. So what I mean by this is you can think about things like, okay, even just thinking about yourself as a CEO. Okay. You can think about yourself as the CEO, or you can think about yourself as just, and I'm putting just in air quotes, the business owner, or you could think about whatever you're doing as a, what I call like a jobby, which is like a halfway between a hobby and a job. You know, you get to choose how you want to think about something, or you can think that was a success, or you can think that was a failure. Those are all options. They're all on the table. And I think oftentimes we don't look at all the options, right? But CEOs, and they're going to grow, they've got to look at all the options. Now, oftentimes if we're in a corporate setting, we have people bringing the options to them, but you have to be able to manifest that, do that yourself if you're the small business owner. So that T stands for thought options.
Got it.
The second piece, the R, stands for, I call it, what's the real problem? Okay. So the real problem, 99% of the time, is really not a problem at all. It is just a negative feeling.
Yeah.
It's all up here. You're just not willing to feel overwhelm, doubt, confusion, disappointment, frustration. And big thinkers, one of their characteristics is that they go access future you. I call it future you. So they're able to think like, okay, a year ahead, 3 years ahead, 10 years ahead. They're able to go to that person 5 years from now who is operating a business that they love, who does feel like their life and business are aligned, who is experiencing what they want to experience, whatever success looks like for them. Big thinkers are able to go access that future you and kind of ask the future you what to do today. And usually the future you is going to tell you what you're going to do today is something that probably has a little, maybe a little risk involved.
Yeah.
Maybe it's got some, it should be a little exciting though. But it's got to push you a little. And when you get that little push, it might not feel so great. So the real problem is not money, lack of employees, time. The real problem is just that you don't want to feel that little feeling.
Getting outside your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So that's something that like, I think is something, a skill that you really have to work at too. It's not innate because no one loves that. No one loves being in the uncomfortable.
And it happens more than once. Yeah. With real success, it's going to happen over and over and over again. Cause there's always, as your company grows, there's always going to be another thing that you have to do or another group of people you have to think about. Am I going to stop outsourcing and actually hire employees? And all of those shifts where you start going, oh, okay, I that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I have a little diagram where it's like a spiral. So I show kind of like, this is just a bunch of spirals as you're spiraling upward. But a client said to me the other day, she's like, didn't we already do this? Didn't I already go through this part? It's like, yes, but you went through that part 2 years ago and now we're at like a similar part, but at a different level. Oh, okay. So
you're growing.
You're growing. Yes. the other interesting thing about CEOs, I think, is that they embrace uncertainty. So the U in trust, I say, represents uncertainty. And you know what? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're all living in uncertainty, but no one loves that. We don't like that. We don't want to be there. And if you're going to be a CEO, you got to be okay with that. You just have to, you don't have to love it, but you have to embrace it and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
One way I think this manifests itself is when we tell ourselves, well, I'm just going to think about it. Like, okay, you said, am I going to turn the contractors into employees? I'm just going to think about it for another month.
Yeah.
And then I guess, I don't know, I just need another month. So sometimes I'll say, hey, can I put my coach hat on? They say, okay. So what exactly are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are you thinking about? Usually there's no great answer there. It's
yeah.
something that's easily solved. Like, do I have enough money, or what is this going to look like? Or how do I create a contract? We can solve all those problems. Are you really thinking about that? What they're thinking about is, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
That's what they're thinking about.
So yeah. That's this is uncomfortable. I don't know if I want this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to think like a CEO, if you're going to be, then you have to think bigger. You've got to be just, you don't have to love it, but you just have to be okay. Embrace the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
All right, S. So S stands for secure support. If you go back to when you were a child, there were such things as security blankets, right? People had security blankets, or they had pacifiers, or they had stuffed animals. Okay. And you needed that support, that security, right? But as an adult, we can't do that. There's no stuffed animals, I don't think. So I always say your security blanket, when you're an adult, are other humans. There are other humans. You need to have other humans as your support, right? You need to have other humans in the ring with you. You need to have your own kind of personal board of directors, even if you don't have a board of directors.
Yeah. I like calling that. I agree. Cause I like calling that a board of advisors. Like you just need. Yeah. And I don't know if you agree with this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Finish your thought.
Tell me.
Sorry.
No.
I was just going to say, I feel like I tell people you need to have people in place when you strategically for different things. Like if I'm feeling shaky in my confidence, you know, I call my sister, who is the pinky to my brain, right? She's my executive assistant. Or I call my mom because they're going to tell me, Julie, you're wonderful. You've got this. But they're not the ones that I'm going to call when I go, I need someone to tell me the flaw in this situation. I know my thinking's flawed. I can feel my thinking's flawed, but I have to figure this out. So in that case, I'm going to need that coach or that advisor.
Yes.
That's going to call me out on my, you know what, and say, no, you've got to do it this, or this is not, you're not thinking right. Or you've got to have people that sometimes that board of advisors, when I tell my clients, I'm like, you don't always want it to be your best friend.
No, I always say it shouldn't be your family or your best friend.
Exactly. Cause they're going to say, come here, honey, I'm going to pour you a glass of wine. Let's sit and just chat. You know, it's like, no, you want somebody that's going to peel back the layers and say, no, be straightforward with you and tell you, this is what you need to do. So I like that. I like that S in your, you know, in trust.
And I think the interesting thing about the family part or the friends is that is their role. Like, so your family, like their role is to love you and to, you know, hug you and encourage you all. Like their role is not to say, hey, Julie, this isn't going to cut it. You know, you need to step up the game. You need to get out of this situation. They're doing their job, but you need someone to do a different job.
Exactly.
Right. And I sometimes say it's like you're stuck in your own peanut butter jar. And when you're in there, you can't read the label. Like you don't know what's going on outside of the jar. You don't know what the ingredients are to make up with the messes that you're in. So you need that label reader. You need that objective third party. And you do need someone who can see things from a different perspective too.
Yeah.
So that S is secure support. And whatever it looks like. Yes.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
So T, what's our T?
All right. So the last T is take action.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. So I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, business owners, we spend a lot of time, and this is kind of ironic because I'm all about thinking, right? But we spend a lot of time about thinking about taking the action, or we spend a lot of time in what I call passive action, which is kind of thinking time. So reading a book, and I obviously love books, listening to a podcast, I'm all in on that. But those are passive actions. Are you taking what you learned or what was you were exposed to and doing something with it? Are you actually taking what I call massive action? So, and you don't have to know all the actions, because then the next thing is like, yeah, but I just don't know how to do this. I mean, I don't, all you need to know is the next best step. That's it.
Yeah.
Just the next best step. You don't need to know 20 steps. You don't even know need to know what it's all going to look like in the end. Exactly.
Yeah.
You just need to take the next best step. So CEOs, if you think about like the most successful CEOs, like, you know, they're coming out with a new Apple product every quarter, right there, right? They're not wasting time. Like Tesla is obviously updating all the time, right? So how can we do that as our own small business, as our own entrepreneur, CEO in our own entrepreneurial business?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. I like that thinking big concept. And you don't, women have to understand that that doesn't mean that they have to become big.
No.
They don't have to all of a sudden open a storefront and have 100 employees.
No.
It's not about that. It's about having that mindset and being able to look at things from a bigger vantage point.
Yeah. So I had a client today, this is an interesting, so she's been in corporate for like 15 years. And in the past year, she started her own business. So the skill set of the actual service that she's providing, I mean, she's got that down. That's not even an issue, right? But she's never owned her own business. So we did what I call a vision to action intensive, because I've got some clients who really are really great at dreaming. I would say that's a smaller portion, but some of them are, they're great at having that vision. Some are really great, or they just want to know what the action is. Like, just tell me what to do. I'll follow the instructions. So we kind of mesh the two. We do what I call a vision to action intensive. And I do it in a, like a very small group, two or three people. So one woman on the call, she's been in business for 20 years and she has these huge visions of, she wants to be kind of the window treatment to the guru, to the stars. So she wants to be going, getting flown to Paris to pick out fabrics for people's window treatments all over the world. She wants to be in like luxurious places where she can touch and feel everything. And she's got this whole like picture in her head. She's going to go on a private jet. She's okay. So we got her. And then I have my other client who can't really create this vision. This is the client that just started the business. So she kind of got super emotional and she was like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I think that way? And then she came back like a couple of days later and said, okay, I was thinking about that whole situation. And I realized that I can think bigger. I can't, in her brain, she wants to offer like 3-day workshops that are, have a price tag of $30,000. She's like, I can think about that, but that doesn't have to happen right now. So she was like, so there's that, like you said, you don't have to become a, you know, multimillionaire, right? Or have some huge business with 62 employees or 600 employees or 6,000. You can, thinking bigger is in your own scale, in your own realm where you are right now. So that was kind of interesting because she was like upset with herself and then realized, no, I can think big right now. I could do this.
And I think that's important too. When I'm talking about the CEO, it's the same thing. It's more that you're looking at managing your business with a different mindset.
Yes.
Right. It has to do with that whole piece of, I think, what'd you call it? It was the mixture of hobby and what did you call
jobby.
It?
Jobby. I call it a jobby,
you know? Because I do, I find a lot of, it started years ago, 15 years ago, you know, when I had a networking group and I just, you know, so many of the network marketers would come in and they'd show up once a year or twice a year. And I'd be like, okay, you're not, that's a hobby, right?
It's like,
you have to shift the way you're thinking. So you're thinking this is a business, I'm going to treat it like a business, which means I'm going to dedicate times, you know, I'm going to stick to some time. Like, we want to create our own schedule, and that's fine. But there are some times when we're getting up at 5 a.m. to talk to an international client.
Yes.
So, you know, that's those kind of those shifts where it's like you start realizing, okay, I have to have certain, I have to think bigger if I want to serve more, or if I want to grow this business to whatever that scale is that you want to grow it.
100%.
Totally. Now, what do you talk, because I don't, and we don't have to get into the fears, but one of the other things that you also teach are what you call 9 common fears that that affect entrepreneurial women.
Yep.
What are just a couple of the top ones? And
I'll give you the big categories. How's that?
Yeah. Give me the big categories. And then we'll talk about how you help women with that.
Okay. So big category number one is what I call fear of the unknown. Okay. So what that really is you're fearing your capacity or capability. I would say capability to react to new events, new things. You don't have the confidence in yourself to handle things no matter what. Okay. And it kind of shows up in that fear of uncertainty, which kind of goes back to the big thinking, shows up as being like fear of change. So what if I can't pick up my kid every day now at 2 o'clock and someone else is going to have to pick them up? Like, okay, there's that unknown, what's going to happen, fear of change,
right?
Fear of risk. Okay. So that might be hiring someone in as an employee. And then fear of success. Okay. So, oh my gosh, what if this actually works? Underneath, the success is going to go back to change, right?
Yeah.
Change means going into the unknown. So where we can't predict things. So kind of here we go again, right? We're in that cycle. So fear of the unknown is the first big category. Second big category is fear of failure. Okay. Now this is another kind of like confidence issue in a way. But it revolves around judgment or feelings, like negative feelings, not so great feelings. So there's a lot of studies out there that talk about why people don't start businesses. And the number one fear the number one reason usually is fear of failure. So if you judge your environment that you're in as risky or your skills is not good enough, those are judgments that are going to lead you to fail. So there's that fear of failure. So fear of not being good enough, fear of not being seen as being good enough, which is different. Fear of letting people down, fear of letting others down. And then in turn, kind of like letting yourself down. Again, that's sort of like a big cycle, right?
Yeah.
And the third big category is fear of lack. Okay. So fear, this really revolves around fear of not having the resources you need, not having enough money, time, brain power, energy. Okay. So you're lacking what you need or you think you need in order to be successful. So fear of not enough money, that's huge. That's huge. I'll tell you a fun little fact. So I just assessed all of my podcast episodes. So I have a podcast, it's called Time to Level Up. There's like 160 episodes at this point. So we just went through this exercise of assessing the major topic categories of these episodes when I'm recording. So the one category is money. Okay. So those are the least listened to episodes. But I would say in coaching, the word money or finances or budget or something that has to do with money comes up the most. Like it's right here in a lot, many entrepreneurs, if you can't see me, but right in top of mine. So that was just sort of, we just did that this week. I was like, this is very interesting. It's very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. There's a societal block there somewhere.
There is. And I think it has a lot to do with women. I don't know if men, if I was, my audience was men, if that would be the same thing. I don't know.
So women aren't as comfortable talking about money. Which is so interesting to me. I have found that in my own self. Yeah. I mean, I'm much more comfortable with it now, but it does. It's kind of like men are like, yeah, I want to have the private jet and drive the Tesla, the most expensive Tesla. And they don't have any problem telling people that. you know, or whatever. But women were almost like, I'd like to drive a nice car.
Right. I just has to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting about money, what people consider debt and how they think about debt.
Yes.
Right. Or at least I find that with my clients. Like not having enough money to pay bills 1 month because you just invested a huge amount that's going to create more money for you seems to be like a huge problem sometimes to people. And I'm always like, yeah, but you're investing so that to create more. Like, it's like you don't balk about your mortgage payment. You just, anyway. So that's just interesting. So, all right. Fear of lack is the third big category. Fear of money falls under there. And I think fear, especially for women, is not enough time.
Yeah.
Right. So those are the big fears that I think we experience, and they squash big thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They get in the way.
They literally stop you from thinking. We just did another recording earlier today, and the topic of fear, because a lot of people know as the brain lady, and I discuss that, what that fear cycle is in the brain, and literally what's going on. And when you are in a place of fear, you are not able to think clearly. And it's because the brain, the subconscious, has literally taken the energy, like oxygen, glucose, like it's taken it away from this prefrontal cortex. So when you're looking at it on a brain scan, it's very inactive. And this is where we visualize. This is where we think about solving problems. This is where we think about how we're going to make the money, right? So if we're in the fear state of lack, or we're in the fear state of something, it's like we're stuck in not being able to strategize how to move forward. Mm-hmm. So it can be really, really paralyzing.
I have a section in my book. It's about stuck stress versus progress stress. So I say, the way I've kind of described what you just did is, when you're in stuck stress, you can't access your genius brain. Like, you can't access it. You can't even go there. It's not accessible. Right.
Yeah.
But when you're in progress stress, you know, there's always a little bit of underlying amount of stress all the time. I mean, let's get real. When you're in that progress stress, you can access it. And as you start to take action, the stress lessens. Whereas stuck stress, it's like, it just gets more and more and more intense, the more and more and more you think about it. So whatever, I find that.
I like that.
Yeah. The stuck stress differentiation. Is debilitating. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I created a little table, because this is how I think about it in my own brain. So in my there's a little table.
I like that. I like that. Tables are good. Worksheets are good.
It's all good. All good. I don't know what chapter it's in. I couldn't tell you that, but I know there's a table.
Well, you know, this is a perfect segue, because you did recently just launch the book, Think Big. Think Big Insider Session with the, no, wait a minute.
Nope. She Thinks Big. She Thinks Big is the name of the book. She Thinks Big, the Entrepreneurial Woman's Guide to Moving Past the Messy Middle and Into the Extraordinary. Very long subtitle. Couldn't reduce it, no matter how we tried it. But She Thinks Big is the title of the book.
I love it. I love it. So it contains a lot of these gems, obviously. Best place to get it. Can they get it on Amazon, or is it best to just go to your website, or how does that?
They can get it on Amazon. There's also a workbook that goes with it. They can get that on Amazon. But if you go to my website, you'll also get some other extras. So if you go to shethinksbigthebook.com, you'll have access to some extras.
Everybody wants the extras.
They do. Why would you not want extras?
No, especially as women, you know? Go buy that. We buy that makeup just so we can get that bag of free.
I know, it's craziness. So there's a toolkit. You can access. So
I love it. I love it. All right. So people can stay in contact with you on Facebook, on Instagram, all with your name. I think Instagram is your name, then .coaching.
It is. LinkedIn. You know what? The easiest way, though, I'm going to give you a cheat sheet. If you go to Andrea's with an S, links with an S, so you don't have to do any of the hard spelling of my last name. I wish I had your last name, but I don't. So Andrea's with an S, links with an S.com. You're going to find links to my social media, to the website, to the book, to the podcast, to all the things.
Perfect. Perfect. And yep. You know what? We will put that in down in the show notes as well.
Sounds good.
So that great. everybody can have that. I love this conversation. And you know what? I would love to have you back and discuss some of these other things in a little bit more detail, because we brushed over the fears, but you also, and you kind of, you know, you explained the trust, but there's a lot deeper.
There's a lot. We could have hours of conversation.
I know. So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being, Andrea, for being on the Women Entrepreneurs Show today. I'm honored of your presence and your wisdom sharing with my audience greatly.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We will be putting out all of this information on the show on the Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire podcast page, with all of her contact and her website and ways to stay connected with her. I've gone out and connected with her on Insta, so I'm looking forward to, you know, watching each other's posts and learning from each other and maybe doing some amazing brainstorming together. So with that, I'd like to invite everyone out there to stay connected, not just with our guests, but with us at we.extraordinaire. And we will be doing a gentle rebranding. We are rebranding Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire, or WE as we call it, to Women Excelling Everywhere, because we want to really help women excel in whatever their area is that they desire to excel in. As we're doing this rebranding, we are also launching the private membership community, Women Excelling Everywhere, and super excited about the launch next year of our collaborative book with dynamic women sharing their wisdom, women under that title, Women Excelling Everywhere, what sparked their passion and led to their success. So for everyone listening, please keep an eye out for that, or an ear out for that, as it were. If you have thoughts, ideas, feedbacks about the show or the program, maybe you've read a book you'd like to see covered, a topic, a question you have, business topic you'd like to see covered on the show, then please send us an email at info@womenentrepreneursextraordinaire.com. That is all plural, women, entrepreneurs with an S, extraordinaire.com. We appreciate and are honored that you spent this time with us. So if you enjoyed this information, please give us some social media love, give us some shares, give us some likes, give us some comments. We would appreciate that, because that helps this message get out to even more people and help everyone to expand their knowledge and their wisdom and their businesses. So with that, until next time, I want everybody to take a nice deep breath. Open up those shoulders, go out there and simply enjoy every moment. Thanks for being with us.